Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up on 3 o'clock on The Fan, Evan and Tiki. Mets get bad news. Every other team in baseball fears what the Mets have. This is the thing about Yankee fans, too. You got to get through spring training with your fingers crossed. Because when you sit there on Saturday and Sunday and you say, you know what, I'm going to put some spring training baseball on. It's fun. It's refreshing. It's cool. It makes you think of spring. But the truth is, you got to get out of this alive. You got to get to opening day without hearing that player A is feeling tightness in his hamstring. And player B needs to shut down his bullpen session because his elbow hurts. And this is the reality for all of us as baseball fans. But we also live in a weird world, Tiki. Because right now, MLB free agency isn't over.
Yeah.
So if you unfortunately get hit by an injury, you've got the ability to go sign somebody. And so you'll always hear the big names, Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell. In fact, last night, there were wild rumors all over social media that the Yankees were signing Blake Snell. That it was a done deal. I got a text message in our little Mets text chain from a Marty Mush saying, it's done. Blake Snell's going to be a Yankee.
Marty Mush.
And Marty Mush, unfortunately, I guess he got it wrong. Maybe he didn't get it wrong. Maybe they're going to sign him. I don't freaking know. But that was the story last night. Oh, Blake Snell's going to be a Yankee.
To be fair, Marty Mush, he was second on it. Jake from John Boy had it first.
Jake said that, too?
Yes, Talking Jake tweeted that before Marty Mush.
So Jake had it, who I like. Marty Mush, who I'm not familiar with his work.
I'm not either.
He had it next, and then there was a third person who had it.
Yeah, some weird Yankee
account.
And it
still hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't. Of course it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's going to happen. So there are still free agents out there. And we went through Jordan Montgomery. I would sign him. I like Jordan Montgomery. I think he would have been a great fit for the Mets 2 weeks ago, let alone today with the uncertainty around Kodai Senga. But what I think the Mets could do, and maybe should do, is add somebody on a one-year deal to improve their depth. They think they have a lot of depth right now with McGill and Budo and Lucchesi. But with Kodai hurt, and who knows who's next, you may need more depth. So I made a list of five available free agents that the Mets could sign right now to kind of put in that competition to be in the rotation.
All right, let's hear it.
You ready?
Yep.
Cinco de Evo on Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Number five.
Number five is Trevor Bauer. I know that there are people out there that want him that say, why not? He's got the biggest upside of anybody out there. Go sign Trevor Bauer. I think where the Mets are and in the Met history and some of the embarrassments over the last few years.
It's a reach.
I think it's risky, not from a pitching standpoint, but from a what could come out more about Trevor Bauer standpoint. Mm. Speaking of which, that gets us to number four.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Are you aware of the Bauer tweet regarding Senga?
No.
Bauer seems to be begging here.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. What did he say?
His last tweet about 2 hours ago. Sucks to see the news about Senga. I've learned a lot watching him pitch. He's fun to study. Hope he's back soon.
Oh, so you think that was a beg?
I think it's a tweet to show the Mets, hey, look, here's a nice mature tweet from me. I'm a mature, changed person. Please sign me.
No, you know what that is? That is a beg, because here's what this is like, okay? There's a guy and a girl. You're kind of friends with both of them, but she's hot, man. And you've been thinking about her for a long time. But, hey, it's you know the guy. Can't do anything about it. They break up. You wait like a couple of hours, and then you tweet, sorry about what happened.
Sorry to hear about your breakup.
I'm here if you want to go to a movie, get a drink.
Or something, it's all good. I got a shoulder you can lean on.
It's exactly the same. That's so what true. Trevor Bauer's doing. He is so desperate, it's funny.
Number four.
Domingo Germán. And I know for the Yankee fans, you can make the joke, more Yankee whatevers. Mm. Domingo Germán had flashes last year. We all know he threw the most meaningless perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball. But everything about him, it doesn't feel like Domingo Germán has fixed the demons that he's dealing with.
History?
What was that?
History of Major League Baseball.
It was the most meaningless perfect game in the history of baseball. Yeah.
History of baseball.
Yeah, correct. Can you name a perfect game more meaningless?
No.
Exactly.
I just don't know all the perfect games.
There's only been 22 of them or 23 of them, and this one was the most meaningless perfect game in the history of baseball. Yeah.
And forgettable because it wasn't at Yankee Stadium.
Forgettable. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was Domingo Germán. It ended badly with the Yankees.
We were all sleeping.
Yeah. No.
Nobody actually saw it.
Yeah, I think with Bauer and Germán, for obviously different reasons, but both scary reasons, those are two guys I would stay away from more for the off-the-field stuff than it would be what they could potentially give you to your rotation.
So is this Cinco to Evo the five that you want?
Yeah, I'm working my way up. It goes from five to one.
Okay, are the list anybody attainable?
Number four, number five are like, yeah, I don't really want them, but I can't think of anybody else.
You know, no. That's a great question. I brought the names up because I respect that there are a lot of people in the audience that do. And so I put them out there as I know they exist. I know a lot of people out there may want these guys. I'm just telling you, I don't want those guys.
Can we change the intro? Convoluted Cinco de
Mayo. Number three.
Mike Clevinger, he's 32 years old, pitched to a high 3 ERA last year, probably has the most potential besides Bauer of anybody in this group. Get him on a short one-year deal, a lot to prove. Mm. Mike Clevinger would be an interesting fit.
Yeah.
Number two.
You don't like it?
But you had a big bicep injury last year, right?
Dude, anybody who's available after the top two, there's going to be issues with them.
He'll fit right in.
Jake Odorizzi, another guy who's been bouncing around Major League Baseball, 34 years old, pitched to a mid-4 ERA last year. Look, he fits right in as a guy that you can kind of plug in, make a couple of starts, see what he's got.
Sounds like a Met already.
He fits the Mets perfectly.
I can't tell if he's listing the Somerset Patriot or Long Island Duck rotation, or this is a want list.
These are guys that are out there. The number one guy is my number one guy.
Okay. Right? Number one.
Michael Lorenzen. And here's why I like Michael Lorenzen. Really? Not only could he be in the rotation, but he's relieved before. So if the Mets get healthy, if some of the younger arms deliver, if Tyler McGill's new American spork ball is amazing, then Michael Lorenzen helps you out of the bullpen. So it's double duty. It helps me now. It may help me in the future. And those are the five cheap one-year options that the Mets could add with Kodai Senga hurt. You don't like any of those options, do you?
I mean, I'm just looking at Lorenzen's injury history.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of missed days.
Listen, if a guy's going to be...
Two of them for 107 and one for 68 with a shoulder issue.
Just remember this, Deke.
I'm just saying. It was 2 years ago.
If a guy is a free agent on February 22nd, there's two qualifications they would have.
He's flawed.
A, they're flawed, or B, they're represented by Scott Boris, and they're asking for too much money.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to.
And it's not the Boris side. Oh, actually, he might be a Boris guy.
I forget these guys. I don't even care who they're...
CAA, right? So...
Yeah. I don't even care who their agents are. These are just the five, like, you could add them. It makes the Mets a little bit deeper. Because right now, here are their options. Their options are Tyler McGill, Joey Lucchese, and Jose Buto. Mm-hmm. Those are their options. Now, one thing about Tyler McGill, I'll say real quick, he added an American spork ball to his repertoire that he learned from Kodai Senga. What'd he do?
What does that mean?
It's like he took Kodai's pitch and Americanized it. How about that?
Oh, I got it.
Now, joining us right now, we have a very special guest. I'm sure it's to defend himself, but that's fine. Maybe he's going to be right about this. And that is the infamous Marty Mush of Barstool, who broke the Blake Snell news that did not happen. Mr. Mush, how are you?
What's up,
fellas? Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What happened? Why isn't Blake Snell a Yankee?
I didn't break it was happening that second. It's happening. It's just the minor details. You guys got to read the tweet. The minor details aren't settled out yet, but it's happening. He ain't going anywhere. But the New York Yankees.
And what's
all my sources are telling me.
Now, I trust your sources. They have to be impeccable. What is the contract? What's it looking like?
The contract is it's looking around 5 years in the $110 to $140 million range.
Wow, that's a pretty big range.
It's why I'm not all about the specifics. I'm just saying he will be a New York Yankee because I just know it. I can't give up my sources.
No,
but
of
I'm
course.
Telling you.
Of course.
That's lighter than he was asking for.
Yeah. Now,
that's the thing. It's Boris. That's why.
Do you think that the Yankee, because Yankee reporters came out last night to say there's been no movement, there's nothing going on. What makes you, why do you think they're being lied to? Because clearly I believe you, Mush. Why are they being lied to?
See, this is why you're smart. You got to believe me. All these other guys know nothing, nothing at all. All my sources are the right sources. And the thing is, this is what I'm telling you. Yeah. He doesn't want to go to a bad team. He doesn't want to go to the Angels.
He wants to
you
go
know?
To
the Angels want nothing. He wants nothing to do with Trout hanging out on the beach, you know?
Is this about being a contender?
It's about being a contender. I think he's done being a Padres. Look, they had all the shiny and nothing. The Yankees, he is exactly what they need. And the problem is no one trusts him. No one trusts him going deep into games, all that stuff. And I think everyone's just waiting for Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this. Did this come to you because you were fishing for it? Or did somebody just be like, you know what, I'm going to call Marty and tell him, hey, you know what, Blake Snell's coming to the Yankees. How did you come about this information?
I have a very trustworthy face, all right? And I'm telling you, when people see me and they see this accent, they're like, oh, this guy's a moron. He's not going to – what the hell is he going to say, you know? So they're like, let me just trust this guy. And then I just tweet it. I was bored last night, and I said, you know what, this is what it is. And they're like, why did you tweet it? So when it happens – it's just make sure you credit me because I know Passan won't.
No, I'm definitely crediting you. But here's where I'm conflicted, Mr. Mush. And we're joined by the great Marty Mush, who's reporting Blake Snell's a Yankee. They're just working out minor details. Don't worry.
So yeah, it's going to take a little bit.
It's going to take some time. I get it. So a part of me says, I believe you. Like, I don't know. I you're very trustworthy. Mm-hmm. I believe you. But then the other part of me doesn't trust that Hal Steinbrenner is going to pay that tax. And that is an enormous tax that he has to pay on Blake Snell. So that's that's where I'm conflicted. I believe you, but I don't trust the owner of the New York Yankees to write a check for like $65 million to have Blake Snell for 1 year, the first year of his deal. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, and that's what everyone's saying because the media, right? Everyone's like, oh, the media, they're not going to pay the luxury. This is what's going to happen because that's why they lowballed him, and he's got no other office. So they're staying at that price. Boris wants it to go up, but no one else wants it to go up. And time's running out. He's going to want to play this year. He's not getting any younger. He's 31, 30 years old, whatever he is.
Right.
He's going to have to sign that. And then 65. Oh, look at this tweet that just came up. Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner confirms payroll is above $300 million and is over the highest luxury tax. He's not ruling out any additions of cash from bringing in Snell. So I think he's ready to pay it.
He's ready. Now, when you say minor details, when do you think this is done? You think it's done by the end of the week, maybe next week? Like, when are we going to basically have this be done so you get your flowers that you deserve?
Listen, when I say minor details, it's because I didn't listen to the rest of the stuff the source was telling because that's above my pay grade. You know, so they were saying a lot of things of, like, physicals and, like, oh, the Angels going to come in out of nowhere. I just said, you know what, I'm going to tweet it. And then I didn't listen to the rest.
I see. But see, Marty, the risk of that is if it goes through the weekend, it could get lost, right? Your credit could get lost.
Does credit get lost? This is I'm kind of just getting in the game here, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. It ain't going to be lost around here.
Right?
When Blake Snell's a Yankee.
No, actually, you solidified it because you said it on air here.
Yeah.
You're good, Marty.
Yeah, you've been solidified.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I appreciate it, fellas, because let me tell you, I'm not even worried. I'm not sweating. It's just true. Like, uh-huh. I'm going about my day. He's in pinstripe.
All right. Marty, we appreciate it. Keep breaking news.
Thank you,
man.
Marty.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All right. There you go. Marty Mush. So I guess it's happening. Congratulations to Yankee fans. You're going to get Blake Snell. Mm. Are you excited, Sean?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Do you think Stroman now doesn't pitch the home opener?
It changes everything now, doesn't it? Well, it's so crazy. And by the way, this applies to the Mets, too.
That's serious.
That's
a serious issue.
I know. Marcus is going to be like, damn it, what the hell happened? Maybe they got to push, like, Rodon back or something. It's official?
No.
Jeez.
Like, no.
Congrats, Marty. Never mind.
Something the else. Only thing, it comes in, ties very loosely apples and oranges to the Trevor Bauer stuff.
Okay.
If you have your eyes on somebody like that, the Chiefs have signed Matt Araiza. Punt.
Oh, yeah. He was accused. What was it? It was bad stuff. But it turned out not to be true, right?
Yes. Yeah, and again, it's very loosely. Believe what you want from Bauer.
But it was like a gang thing.
Right. It's horrible. Right. All that. You could look it up. But the point is, a team like the Chiefs believed that they were confident enough and that there's no problems. And they signed him if you want to have the discussion about the Mets and Bauer.
Well, it's very, very different. I'll tell you why. First of all, he wasn't signed last year at all. So he sat out an entire season in which at that point his name was cleared. Because I think his name was cleared well into the
Ariza.
Ariza. Was cleared.
Well, he was in camp, right?
That was two seasons ago.
Oh, wow.
So that's when he got caught.
Oh, that's right.
He was not signed by an NFL team for an entire season.
Right. That's right.
And his name had been cleared. The issue with Bauer, I want to make this very, very clear, is that there is still one lawsuit against him. So as much as Trevor Bauer says, hey, look, I was cleared, and I don't even know if that word is really appropriate, that he was cleared from it, but as long as that has been settled, however you want to phrase it, there is still one other lawsuit that's out there. So it's not like everything's done with Trevor Bauer.
Right. It wasn't ever, it was just dropped, right? It wasn't adjudicated.
I forgot the exact details, but there's other lawsuits against him, including one that's still out there. So I don't think it's the same, because in Ariza's case, it's over.
Yeah, there was one lawsuit left, apparently, that got ended or dropped or settled in December. So we're 2 months clear of that.
Right, and that's where it is very, very different. But one quick thing, because Mush was talking about the Yankee tax. The Mets are in the same tax boat. So I want to keep this in mind. As much as Steve Cohen spends, as much as Hal Steinbrenner spends, because obviously the Yankee and Met payrolls are enormous, they are in the Cohen tax, which means they are going to spend 110% on tax along with the salary of any player they add. So if the Mets did sign Jordan Montgomery for $30 million a year, that's really $65 million.
Right.
Same thing with the Yankees and Blake Snell, which is why, you know, jokes aside, Marty's having fun. I'm very skeptical there's any chance the Yankees sign him because of the tax. Like, I just can't see the Yankees, even if they got Snell for $25 million a year, spending $55 million for one season of Blake Snell.
Only if they are so all in, right? Championship all in.
Which they should be, by the way.
Which they should be. So why are you now doubting that that's what they're doing?
Because I don't think they are. I think they should. I'd celebrate it for you guys. I just don't think they are.
Forgive my ignorance here, because I forget how the Ohtani thing played out, but could they backload it where that tax thing didn't matter?
No, because the AAV is how it's judged.
Okay.
And even if you backload it, the number is still high.
Ohtani's cash is only $2 million, but for tax purposes, it's $70.
It still counts. Okay, got lost on
that. It's $70 for tax purposes, but cash is only $2.
So what the Yankees can do, and this is what Marty Mush is claiming, is that it's a long-term deal. The beauty of the long-term deal is it brings down that salary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it won't be as high as giving them a one-year $42 million deal. But, again, ask yourself this question, whether you're a Yankee fan or you're a Met fan. Do you think they're adding a guy and paying them double? Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, look, if it's true, if Marty Mush is right, and the Yankees signed Blake Snell, I'd be the first one on the microphone saying, wow, okay, I gotta hand it to you guys. Boy, I was wrong. I'll eat my crow and I'll hand it to Hal. That shows great commitment.
What you'll be saying is they're committed to trying to win this year.
Yes.
That they're going, what you actually said last year, or actually the end of last year, you got to go all in.
Yes.
We have to if you're going to get Juan Soto, because it's only going to be for a year. Aaron Judge is in his whatever prime, and Garrett Cole is there. Eventually, they won't be. So just go now.
Yes.
So you just have to give them credit
for
doing
that. I give them major credit.
You have to.
I would eat my crow and give them credit, but I am skeptical. And by the way, don't you guys agree with me?
You're skeptical because they haven't done it.
I'm skeptical that the New York Yankees are going to spend nearly $50-plus million for Blake Snell this season. I'm skeptical of that. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? Put yourself out there. Marty Mush did. Do you think they're going to sign Blake Snell?
I mean, no.
Okay.
I don't.
Thank you.
But
what?
But if they do, I won't be surprised.
Oh, I'll be surprised.
I think they're signing.
Really?
Right. I do. And I totally hear what you're saying. It makes logical sense. Yeah. However, I'm also coming at this from a different down-the-road camp with Soto than you.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know they're going to explode for Soto anyway, and then factoring even all those taxes down the line, I think Hal just knows chips in the middle of the table. I'm going to be paying a ton anyway.
Well, at some point, you have to shoot your shot.
Right.
You have to just say, all right, we need to go. We want Aaron Judge to be a champion. Hit me out, because if he is, it lives forever, right? He lives forever.
Yeah.
His aura stays with the Yankees into perpetuity. And so you have to try to win a championship. And with Soto on this roster right now, and Garrett Cole coming off of Cy Young, and hopefully health returning to the starting rotation, this is your shot. And so you can't just keep kicking it down the line. Like, maybe one of these young kids, maybe Volpe will turn into blah, maybe this. You got to do it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like that inflection point. And over the last couple of years, we've been talking about this. It's like, we got to save money. We got to pay this tax bill. We got to do this. We got to do that. Now, do it. Get off the pot, right? Do it or get off the pot. That's what it comes down to, I think, for the Yankees.
And, Evan, they would have had to do this if they did the Hader deal, but it felt like you were in favor and thought the Yankees would do that.
No. I said they should do that.
Oh, they should do. Okay. I thought you thought they would do
it.
Right.
No, I didn't think they would. I didn't think they were going to cross that tax. I thought they should have. And, by the way, tell me if I'm crazy about this. Not that it matters anymore, but if they did sign Blake Snell, as Marty Mush is reporting, and by the way, if they sign Blake Snell, every start Blake Snell makes, I will mention Marty's name before his start. I'll even say Marty Mush presents this Tuesday start by Blake Snell.
Marty Mush presents Blake Snell Day?
Yes, I'm going to do all that. If they sign Snell to that contract, I would say to you, I'd look you straight in the eye and say, boy, I give Hal a lot of credit, but you should have signed Josh Hader.
I think it's harder to find the starters than is the bullpen guys.
I'm just saying that I would have preferred, if I'm a fan of them, for them to do that. Let's go to Joel in Poughkeepsie. Good afternoon, Joel.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, what's up, man. What's up?
Not much. So, listen, I had a thought yesterday when you guys were talking about what you could do to get out of your beard and hair growing thing that you got going on.
Yeah.
So, I'm a semi-retired barber. I changed professions. And we used to do something with the local schools. It was like a charity. They would put out a poll to the kids and let them vote on which beard each teacher should get. So if you guys were to put out a poll on what beard you could get, and then you do beards like ones like the 50-50, where you shave half your beard off and then you got to wear the other half for a week or two weeks, whatever you guys decide.
Right.
The Fu Manchu, the monkey tail, there's a bunch of options.
No, it's a very good idea. So the other day, Loogie mentioned that I could paint my beard every single day with a different color. So I don't know if this will meet approval from all three of you or approval of the audience, because I would put it out there as a poll, and I would ask them for their approval. For me to get rid of this hideous beard that continues to grow every single day, it's like I don't live alone anymore. I live with an animal on my face. I would agree every single day for 4 weeks, every day, different color. And you guys pick it, and you color me every single day with spray paint. Now you spray paint my beard a very different color, whatever you want it to be. Purple, pink, orange, blue. I don't give a rat's ass. Designs, colors, words, I don't care. I do it for a month, and then I cap it all off on opening day by going with the half a beard. I think that is a great proposal, and I would be willing to sign off on it. I spoke to my wife. She isn't officially signing off on it, but I think I can make some progress. So the question for all three of you, and you don't have to decide now, and certainly a question for the audience, because I need your approval, because I'm walking away from something I promised. And I don't do that, you know, I do that needing you to say, it's okay. And I need to give the audience something. So if every day it was a different color that you decided that the audience, that whatever it is, and then it ends with the half a beard, it seems like that's fair.
But do you actually want to get rid of it? Do you really want to get rid of it? Isn't it growing on you?
But it's growing
like
on
the like the Markhor goat. The Markhor goat beard.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it feels like to you? Like this sense of being, this sense of manliness, the sense of coolness, ruggedness, not baby face. You're like half heelish, but you're still the good guy, and it's all because your beard is so epic.
Yeah, no thanks. I want to get rid of it.
The council will meet on this, Evan. The council will be me, Tiki, and Tommy. I will say, for the first time in the beard's length, I feel pressure as a council because, you know, not for nothing, the Senga news, at some point the Mets got to give their fans a little happiness here. Could they sign Alonso before we strike a deal it's all out?
No shot. No, like, I've accepted that the Alonso deal is not happening. Like, I'm not getting out of this with a Pete Alonso extension. I've got two choices. I've got to hold off until next February, because that's the other problem. Pete's not even going to sign early in the offseason. He's going to sign in February, just like all the other Boris guys. So 1 year from today is when Pete's going to sign. So option one is just keep growing until next February.
No, I think Pete will he'll be hot. They'll be hot to trot for him. I think his deal will get done.
I completely disagree with you. I think they're going to make us wait. Yep. I think we're going to be in February not knowing.
And then the other option is cutting a deal. That's the other option. And I think that is an idea that was morphed between Loogie and Sean. The half a beard, the different colors. Mm-hmm. I want the council to talk about it amongst themselves. And maybe you will make a decision by, let's say, let's go with next Tuesday.
Deal.
Give you a couple. Give you the weekend. Give you Friday. Next Tuesday at 3:30, you get to decide if you approve that. And then we can begin making colors.
Like 5 days from now?
Is that 5 days from now?
Yes.
I just want to make sure it's the next day's Joe Shane speaks. I want to make sure we have the whole show.
Look at you. Yeah, so next Tuesday at 3:30, you will decide if that's enough for me to get rid of my beard. If it's not, it's not. And then I got to think of something else. Or I just got to deal with a beard that's going to grow forever.
By the way, you said something there, too, that was interesting, Ev. You said, well, if Alonzo signs somewhere else, what if he doesn't ever sign an extension?
Mm. Like, what if he left?
Because you made it sound like, well, he'll sign in February. If he signs with another team, he technically didn't sign an extension.
So does that mean I have to grow the beard forever?
Maybe. Mm. Abe Lincoln, honest Abe. You could look like your idol for the rest of your life now.
I think we need to save that potential.
Oh, God.
Like, we can't let him shave it.
Oh, God.
We will discuss as a council over the next 5 days, and your fate will be discussed on Tuesday.
A decision will be made Tuesday at 3:30. We'll come back and get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. And this morning, I watched Back to the Future for the 500th time, and it changed my life. And I will explain it to all of you, because I think all of you will not know how to answer maybe the most important question I've ever asked you, and it all comes from watching Back to the Future for the 500th time. It is late February, and the Mets are already dealing with injury news. Kodai Senga's got a moderate right posterior capsule strain in his shoulder. He's being shut down. Who the hell knows when we're going to see him? Speaking of former Met pitchers, Justin Verlander, who I don't have any ill will towards. Like, I think when the Mets traded him, I was very disappointed with that decision. I thought it would have been easier to build this team this year, having Verlander on the roster. Looking at what they got back and the hope of Drew Gilbert, I'm good with it now. Though it would be nice to have Justin Verlander at the top of the rotation.
Justin Verlander.
But I don't have any ill will towards Justin Verlander when I say this. Justin Verlander is kind of a big baby. A big, giant baby.
What did he do?
I'm going to tell you. And you tell me if you think he's a baby.
Okay.
So late last year, as the Mets had their bad, bad season, The Athletic had an article trying to explore the locker room. Like, oh, what went wrong? And one of the comments that came out was an unnamed Met calling Justin Verlander a diva. Okay?
Okay.
We all assumed it was Max Scherzer. It is not Max Scherzer. Apparently, Max and Verlander are now friends, even though they had their issues back in Detroit. But Justin Verlander admitted that he's so bothered by this comment, he called up his ex-teammates to find out who called him a diva.
I mean, what's wrong with being a diva?
Well,
like, a diva is just someone, I would think, who just kind of expects, I don't know, the best things, right?
I guess.
And he's super rich. He's making the most money ever. Married to Kate Upton, yeah. Right? What's wrong with being a diva?
Apparently, Justin thinks there's something wrong with being called a diva.
It's high maintenance. You don't want to be labeled high maintenance.
What? But why? If you're good.
Because it kind of means like
I'd rather be a diva than an ass.
You're right.
I'm serious. Like, I'd rather my teammates say, oh, God, he's so diva, he's so vain. I'd rather that than, oh, he was such a jerk. I couldn't deal with him.
So you might be right. But a diva, I think in a lot of people's eyes, is like you're viewed as you think and act like you're better than. And that's not really one of the group, especially as a teammate.
I don't see divas that.
That's kind of the label of a diva,
no,
yeah.
Think about diva. Diva comes from, I don't know, like
Jersey Housewives, let's just say, for example.
No, it comes from, like, Whitney Houston.
Right, Madonna.
Not even Madonna.
It wasn't a bad word. Like, the way you're describing it.
Aretha Franklin, right? You're great at what you do.
Yes, it was a positive description. It wasn't negative.
And you carry yourself with, I expect the best.
Yeah.
Wait, what's wrong with that?
I'm not even arguing that aspect of it. I think what I find funny, and you tell me if you would have done this, is the fact that he's so bothered by it, he's calling up his ex-teammates to find out who said it.
That's a little odd, because why do you care?
That's what I'm saying.
You were there for a year.
Like, if a story came out where someone's like, you know, that, and I'm not going to use diva, because apparently that wouldn't offend you. If a former Giant, unnamed Giant, said, boy, that Tiki Barber was, I don't know, you picked a word that would bother you. Selfish.
Right.
And you're like, I'm not selfish. Like, what the F is that? Like, you know you're not selfish.
Would you
I was
go
kind of selfish. I never left the field.
All right. Well, pick the word that would bother me. You tell me.
I don't know if I'd be bothered by it. I think, but your point is, if you're, why are you so investigative about who called you out on that?
Why does Justin Verlander, who's back in Houston, it's like he was never a Met.
Right.
It was a fart in the wind. Why does he care so much?
And it's not like he was there for, I don't know, 7 years or a decade.
It was months.
Right. So if he's there for a decade and someone says something derogatory about him, you'd be like, dude, I gave my life and blood and sweat and tears and everything else, my arms for this team. How dare you talk about me like
that? Yeah.
You're there for 5 months.
So here's the real question.
Calm down.
Who called him a diva? Mm-hmm. Now I'm curious. I didn't care, but the fact that it bothers this Hall of Famer.
A teammate. Who would say this about a teammate?
See, I thought about Tommy Pham, but it's not, because Tommy Pham doesn't give a crap. He would just put his name on it, and he would confirm it. Like, Tommy Pham is badass. Right. He'd be like, yeah, I called you a diva. What are you going to do about it? Like, I mean, so it's not him. Would it be Lindor?
No.
Would it be Pete?
No.
Oh, McNeil. Watch out for that, Jeff McNeil.
He doesn't seem like that kind.
It's Tylor McGill.
No.
Yeah, the big drip.
He might not be on the team anymore.
Oh, somebody not on the team anymore. Oh.
Could it be Vogelbach?
I'm guessing it's probably a pitcher just because they spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
So Max was my first guess, obviously, because of their history,
that
but that's been refuted.
Guess, by the way.
Who's the other guy that was mad at Tommy Hunter? That guy seems like he was mad at everybody. He seems like he's ratting everybody out.
Maybe it's Senga.
No.
I don't.
It was, Buck Showalter?
I was just about to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was Buck. Buck on the way out was
technically
like, actually,
a teammate.
Buck would make sense.
Sure would.
Makes a lot of sense.
Because he had to deal with them and sometimes, who knows what the behind-the-scenes conversations between.
What Verlander did was, I didn't give a rat's ass about that comment in the Athletic story. Like, anything in that story I cared about, nothing about Verlander being a diva, because he was, like, barely a man. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it sticks in his craw that much.
Right.
In fact, Yankee fans, if you're listening, I got an idea. I'm here for you. When the Astros come to Yankee Stadium, I think instead of wasting your time with F. Altuve, because God knows how that ends, I think you guys stand up when Verlander's on the mound all together. Join me, Sean, as a Yankee fan.
Okay,
and
sure.
And you start chanting, Diva, Diva, Diva.
You know what? I give you credit, Evan. Because most people would have done a, you're a diva.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that better. I like, that's like the, you know, the bleep, bleep, you know, when you're yelling at the refs and stuff. I like that version of diva.
I think Yankee fans, you got to take advantage of this. Like, let's face it, Verlander's haunted you guys. Mm. He means nothing to me anymore. I have no ill will towards him. I don't give a rat's ass about him. But if you're a Yankee fan, Verlander has been a crow in your existence. He's back. There's a damn good chance you're going to see him again. We got to stick it to him, Yankee fans.
By the way, that would be loud and clear.
Yeah.
And it stands. Like, when you hear it.
And show Juan Soto, by the way.
Maybe that's why he's trying to squash it.
Because he doesn't want it to be a thing?
He doesn't want it to become a thing.
Or deep down, he knows it's true.
Well, even if, who cares if it's true? Again, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but Lugie's right. I think when you know something is true, sometimes it bothers
you. Yeah, you're insecure about it because someone pointed out something that you've kept quiet.
He's a Cy Young winner. He's a world champion. Like, why are you?
He's winning at life as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Why is he so insecure?
All I know is that to the Yankee fans out there, this story wasn't about you, but now it's all about you.
Yeah.
You see them on opening day. That's in Houston. But on May 7th at Yankee Stadium, May 8th at Yankee Stadium, and May 9th at Yankee Stadium, the Astros come to town. In fact, the May 9th game is a 5:05 first pitch. I pray to the gods that that's Verlander Day, because here's what we'll do. We will do the show from Yankee Stadium that day, and we'll hand out
Diva
towels. See, Yankee fans, I'm with you.
So
I just want to piss this guy off because it bothers him so much. So let's all pray to the baseball gods that in the middle of May, when the Astros come to Yankee Stadium, little Diva Justin doesn't have an arm issue. Hopefully Diva Justin is feeling okay and Diva Justin makes his start at Yankee Stadium. And then everybody in the Bronx can get under the diva's skin.
And hopefully he doesn't channel it to pitch better.
Though. Nah.
You think it could backfire?
Nah, because FL Tuve doesn't bother him because he's like, who cares?
And he hears it everywhere for the most part. The Astro hitters hear it on the road a lot. No, Verlander, this is new to your point.
But
it's
also,
fresh.
Telling someone to go F themselves is like basic. Like there's nothing deep about it.
It's generic.
Verlander clearly is bothered by being called a diva. Like this will affect him. It's like,
you're right.
I don't want to be a jerk.
Be a jerk.
But Sean is performing somewhere and we hit him where it hurts. So where does it hurt the most? Is it
his gut?
Or were you going to say something about my upper pelvis area?
I was not.
It's how he ended up being a fat piece of ass.
I don't know what bothers you. I haven't figured you out yet.
You know, there's very few things because I own everything.
Genuinely, like I promise I'll never use it against you. What really bothers you? Like something that gets to you.
The last 2 days when people think I don't work hard.
Kiss my fat ass!
Oh, so you're lazy. Very sensitive.
Okay, so if people started chanting.
See, now you know why I ran out on Joe B.
Yeah. Yeah, it's annoying.
He questioned your ethics.
I'd rather you say, look at you, 600 pounds. You need a roof flap to get out of your house than tell me I'm lazy.
The Commanders. All right. So let's say, you know, we're doing a show at DJ's on Memorial Day and you're competing in something. And the whole crowd starts chanting, and this is the crowd chanting it, not me. I want to make that very clear.
You're leading them on?
Excuse me?
Are you going to be leading them on?
I'm not leading them on. They did this on their own. They start chanting, fat and lazy.
Fat and lazy.
You see fat how I'm not participating, Sean?
Would that bother you?
That's a lot of Natalie and Brulee on the Garden State Parkway. Huh?
So that's what you got to do, Yankee fans. You got to hit Verlander where it counts. That's how it gets to them. Let's go to Vic in Port Jefferson. What's up, Vic?
Hey, how you doing, Ed? It definitely wasn't Lindor.
Nope. Who do you think it was?
They were down in Disney World together about 3 weeks ago with both of their families. We're all hanging out together.
Oh, okay.
Lindor and Verlander.
So who do you think it was?
And they, you know what? I don't know.
The manager. All right. Okay. He just knows it's not Lindor. By the way, that's kind of badass. They're hanging out and going to Disney together?
That's cool.
Wow. Mm. Friends forever, and they're only teammates for 5 minutes.
Now I got thinking, what were they doing in Disney together as couples?
Ashley and I love to swing all over Walt Disney World Resort.
And weren't you there 3 weeks ago too, Evan? With Kate Upton? I see you.
Can you imagine? By the way, just imagine.
What if you ran into him down there?
That's what I was thinking. Like, forget about the swinging, because that's unrealistic. What if I just was online at Epcot, and all of a sudden, Verlander's in front of me? And
people love to drink around the world. Well, how about swinging around the world?
And Kate Upton has a pin with an upside-down pineapple.
I think with Verlander, I don't think I would have said anything. I think if it was Scherzer, I may have, you know, said, hey, thanks for all that time in New York, you big douche.
Nah, I wouldn't have said that.
I respect him as a human. He's just a bad
pitcher. It's hard to be mean to people in person. Yeah. I know it sounds easy, but it's hard.
Well, and also when you're mad at someone for the way they perform, not the way they are as a human.
Right.
Like, I don't think Max Scherzer's a bad guy.
And your wife would get on you.
Yeah, my wife would not be happy with
you're right.
That. That's true. Patrick's in Bethpage. What's up, Patrick? Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Am I there?
Yep. Yeah. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Yeah, so it's the first time calling the station. Love your show. So I just tuned in as you were talking to Marty. And I texted my buddy, who happens to be Marty's brother-in-law.
Marty Mush's brother-in-law is your friend. Is that what you just said?
Come again?
You're Marty Mush, who's breaking the story that Blake Snell's apparently going to the Yankees. They just got to figure out some minor details. That's your brother-in-law's friend? Is that the connection you just laid out?
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm a buddy of his brother-in-law.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
So I texted him, and I was like, oh, Marty's on the show talking about Blake Snell coming to the Yankees. And he goes, yeah, no, he is, because and he knows for a fact because he's really good friends with his family. So,
so you're revealing the sources now.
Yeah, I'm doing like a Joe B right now. I got my connections.
Oh, bad by me. So basically,
you know, my buddy's probably going to text me right now and tell me he's going to kill me for saying that. But
that's all right.
I just felt compelled.
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick. So now we can reveal Marty Mush's sources.
Bad job by me.
Which is not our fault because Patrick revealed it. I didn't reveal it. We didn't even ask him what his sources were. But apparently, the Mushes and the Snells hang out together. What?
We have a Blake Snell update.
Oh, let's hear it.
Hal Steinbrenner has been asked specifically about Blake Snell. We don't have audio, but this from Brian Hoke. I'm not going to get into free agents. I'm just going to tell you that we continue to look at a lot of different options. Given where we are payroll-wise, any addition to the club is going to be a costly one. but I'm still willing to consider anything that comes my way, anything Cash and his team bring my way. I'll leave it at that. But we are not done trying to improve this team.
How about that?
That means they're signing him.
That means that I would be wrong that Howe wouldn't be willing to go all in and continue to spend to improve this team. Now, the problem with a comment like that is you got to do it. Because I think Yankee fans hear that from you, Sean, and they say, oh, they're going to go get him. Like, yeah. Look at Tiki's response.
Right. Well, that's what you hear that. It sounds like he's not saying the negative. Like, he's saying we're going to explore every opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, he can't make the declaration we're not done trying to improve this team and then not improve the team.
Right.
Interesting. Anything else from Hal?
No, that's all I got so far.
Hmm. Oh, well, I found something from Hal.
Okay. Should we break the glass or you got it?
No, it's just interesting. It's an interesting discussion. More for next year, but it's good to have now. Would the Yankees pay Juan Soto more than Aaron Judge? I guess that's an interesting question, but not one I've thought about. I'm not sure Judge would care if we got Juan Soto for many years to come, but the market is what the market is, and he's going to cost what he costs. We'll just have to wait and see.
Good answer.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
By the way, spoiler alert, you are paying him more than Aaron Judge.
Right. I mean,
if you keep him, you are.
And why would Aaron Judge care?
I don't think he'd care.
I don't think he would at all. He got exactly what he wanted, actually more than he probably wanted originally. Less than what the Padres were offering, but got a ton of money.
Outside of a private island or a team itself, what can't Aaron Judge afford the next 10 years?
He probably can't afford a private island, to be honest with you.
It's not about what you can't afford. I think it's more about ego. It's more about, I'm the captain, I'm the guy. That's what I think it's about more than it is needing every single dime.
Yeah, but winning a championship in New York, it's not about ego.
Can I ask you a very interesting question that popped into my head based on this comment?
Go ahead.
So back in 1995, there was a fellow named Eric Bischoff, and he started stealing wrestlers from WWF. He started signing guys, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan before that, Macho Man Randy Savage. And what he did with these contracts was very creative, is he put a clause called favored nations in each of their clauses.
Yes.
Which meant...
everybody got paid the same.
No, it meant if I pay someone more, you automatically would make more money.
Right.
So, like, Hulk Hogan, I think it was in Hulk Hogan's contract. Maybe it was in Kevin Nash's.
I think it was Nash and Hall.
Doesn't even matter. That they had a favored nations contract. So, anybody, time they signed somebody, their number would automatically go up. Is that illegal in Major League Baseball? Like, could Aaron Judge have said during the negotiations, you know what, Hal, I'll take $350, but I want to have a favored nations in my contract that if you, not on another team, if you pay somebody more, I automatically make more money. Can that happen?
I doubt that would ever fly. The union would love it.
Yeah.
Because
you imagine that?
Their members would be raking in money.
Yeah.
Anytime someone signed a huge deal. But think about it from the outlier perspective. And we had one this offseason. Shohei Ohtani is an outlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No one's going to make that kind of or do that kind of deal, at least not in the short term. So if I'm trying to think of whoever it would, Mookie Betts on the Dodgers had a favored nations. Now all of a sudden, they're going to pay him $700 million?
Yeah. Well, no, I think per year. It would probably be like an annual salary thing. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
It is from a player perspective.
Can you get Scott Boras on the line and tell him I have an idea?
There's no way that the owners would go for it.
No,
no chance.
Well, good for Yankee fans, I'll tell you this. I remain skeptical. Because you have to do something more than talk about doing something.
Yeah.
So I remain skeptical about their willingness to pay that tax for a guy like Blake Snell.
Mm-hmm.
But those comments from Hal Steinbrenner, as just said by Sean Morash, that would give me hope. Can you believe this, Marty Mush? You broke the story.
Hope from Hulk.
Hope from Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, really from Hal, by way of Brian Hulk. Let's go to Greg in Queens. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, thank you guys for taking the call.
What's up, dude?
Excellent job, as always. But one thing you were overlooking, which seems kind of obvious about Verlander, it's going to be a catcher. It's going to be either a catcher that catches him as a regular guy or one of the guys he does not like pitching to.
Yeah. Tomas Nito. What a rat that Tomas Nito is.
Yeah, it's not Alvarez.
No, I can't imagine that. Now I want to find out.
Well, Nito's back, right? He's on the...
he's on a minor league roster. Minor he's league there. Roster. Yeah, non-roster invitee. Yeah, he's around. You want me to ask him? I'm going to go down to Florida. I'll ask Tomas Nito. So what'd you think of Verlander? By the way, if you called someone a rat, and not a rat, I'm sorry, if you called someone a diva, because that's what pissed Verlander off. Like, The Athletic was doing a story about the 2002 Giants, and you're like, yeah, you know, I don't want my name attached to this because I don't want to start something. But I'll tell you, that's Strahan diva. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you said that. Now, of course, you don't mean that.
No.
Unless you do mean that.
No, he's not.
All right. You call him a diva. And Strahan's like, you know, who the hell called me a diva? Like, that actually bothers me. And he starts calling his teammates up. And he calls you up and says, Tiki, I'm just curious, man. And I won't hold it against you. It's just, it's bothering me. Did you call me a diva? Would you be honest or would you be like, you know what? I said this off the record. I don't want to deal with this. How would you handle that?
That's a good question. I don't know how I would handle it. I'd probably just tell him. Because if you're friendly enough with him, with the guy, you just tell him.
Yeah.
But if it was, I'm trying to think of someone who was with the, Michael Strahan's the wrong example.
Sorry.
Let's use Kurt Warner.
Oh, wow.
Right?
So, going even a little bigger here.
No, I'm just saying.
Not because, bigger, but, you know,
because
another
Kurt was here for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean.
No,
I
that's like, true. Verlander and Warner are like great comparisons, actually, now that I think about it.
And so. So Stray, I'm so close with, I just like, yeah, dude, you are a diva, man. Like, you act like a primp and you fly private, you do whatever. It'd be easy to have that conversation with him. But Kurt Warner, who I know and I like, I don't have that relationship with him because we were only together for a year.
That's right. So he calls you up and says, hey, there was a feature about the 04
and,
Giants.
And if I did,
yeah,
like, if I was the one that called him a diva, would I admit it? No, I probably wouldn't.
Be honest, I respect that.
No.
He's like, I'm not dealing with that.
What the hell are you talking about? Want me to help you find out?
Yeah, I'm going to help you. I just love that it bothers Verlander so much. That makes me smile for some reason. And that's why Yankee fans are all going to come together first week of May. You're a diva or diva, diva. That's where we're all going to chant.
By the way, Major League Baseball, do we need both Yankee Astros opening day and then done by mid-May?
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
What are we doing?
Nah, I agree with you. I would spread it out a little bit. I wouldn't do it in the middle of May, but the truth is, Yankees-Astros, think about it this way. Yankees-Astros is one of the great rivalries in all of baseball over the last half a decade. Do we really remember the regular season games? Not really. We think about the playoffs. We think about the sweep in 22, the six-game series in 19, the seven-game series in 17.
Speak for yourself. I remember Gerrit Cole sticking him to Houston. I remember Altuve ruining our sweep on a Thursday afternoon. There's been some moments.
All right. Oh, I get that. We'll come back and take more of your calls, 877-337-6666, plus a philosophical question that may change your life that I learned by watching Back to the Future for the 500th time. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.